What's my time frame? Or, how long will it take to make my fortune in real estate? The answer is, figure on as much as 10 years or more, and 20 years is ideal. Yes, you may be very lucky and come across a series of properties that you can flip, split, subdivide one property into two, thus doubling your money, or otherwise sell for a big profit. But depending on that is like gambling on the lottery. It's great if it comes in, but don't count on it. Instead, rely on the slow and steady and sure. Think of it in simple terms. Plan on buying one house every year or two for 20 years. At the end of that time, you'll own 10 to 20 houses. The first house will be roughly half paid off. The return on equity from a mortgage is the greatest in the last years, the least in the first years. Thus, after paying two-thirds of the time on the mortgage, the house will be roughly only half paid off. Further, inflation and housing shortages likely will make that first house worth 2 to 3 times what you paid for it, no matter what you paid for it. Chances are that by the end of that 20-year period, you'll have $1 million or more in equity that you can convert to cash if you need to. In addition, you'll have positive cash flow as well. Remember, rental rates on those early properties will go up because of inflation and national housing shortages in many areas, just as prices do. You'll be renting them for 2 to 3 times the original rent, even though your mortgage payments will be roughly the same as when you started, assuming you haven't refinanced. All of which is to say that in addition to having a large net worth, you'll also have a large monthly income over time. This is the point at which you can retire from your regular job and live off your properties. And remember, we're not talking about doing something difficult or arcane. We're talking about buying one property every year or two for 20 years. What could be simpler? Of course, there may be obstacles. You could have a bad year and lose your job for a time. But even if that happens, while you might not be able to buy a new home that year, you'll have the homes you already own to fall back upon. Of course, those who see the glass as always half empty will say you could get sick or die, or the economy could nosedive. Yes, those things could happen, but they're going to happen whether or not you invest in real estate. So, why not invest and hope for the best? What mindset do I need to be a successful investor? There is really only one requirement, that you understand the difference between your business and your personal life. When buying a home for investment, you will feel countless tugs against your better judgment to buy a property because it offers so many pleasing features. You may love the layout of the kitchen. The tile in the bathroom can be adorable. The backyard may be perfect for your family. The garage is ideal because it's big with lots of storage space, and there's a workbench. All of the above would be good reasons to select a home for your personal life, a home that would be most suited to your tastes, needs, and desires. However, when buying investment property, you need to put all that aside and let the reasoning portion of your mind take over. You need to be all business. The questions to ask are, will this feature or that one be suitable for tenants? Is it easily replaced if it is damaged or destroyed? Will the feature make the house more or less saleable in the future? You have to put aside all personal feelings when you consider the property. You must be strictly business. This also applies when it comes to money. When it's time to buy or sell a property, you must go for the very best deal possible. You can't let yourself be swayed by feeling sorry for the other party's situation. For example, tenants may tell you that they can't, or won't, pay their rent because they have so many other bills. You have to be strong enough to tell them, the rent comes first, and demand immediate payment. If you acquiesce to a tenant's problem, it then becomes your problem, because you don't have the rental money with which to pay your bills. Similarly, when negotiating for the purchase or sale of a home, you may find you're dealing with people who have all sorts of personal problems, from illness to divorce to bankruptcy. Your heart may go out to them. However, the way you help them is not to make their problem yours by paying too much or selling for too little. It's by removing a problem from them. For example, you can help a person who is destined to lose his or her house to foreclosure by buying it from them, which will help to save their credit. If you want to go further and give them money to get them back on their feet, I applaud you. However, be sure you understand your motivation. Getting their home out of foreclosure was business. Helping them is charity. Both are admirable, but it's important not to confuse one with the other. What other qualities do I need to be successful? I have been asked if a successful real estate investor needs to have a mind that pays attention to detail. The answer is yes, certainly. But then again, it's hard to imagine any line of endeavor where lack of attention to detail is an asset. You'll find that you need to keep track of market values, rental payments, and all sorts of numbers. A good ledger or a Palm Pilot will help, but it's still up to you to remember the details. I've also been asked if a person needs to be a people person to make a good real estate investor. Again, it's hard to imagine any line of work where personal interactions aren't important. However, in real estate investing, they can be less important than elsewhere. You don't need to sell yourself to purchase investment property or to be a landlord. Although a pleasing personality and a determination to deal fairly with people are great assets here and elsewhere in this business, many very successful real estate investors are reclusive. You almost never see them, and when you do, they don't have 10 words to say. On the other hand, if you intend to sell a property on your own, then it helps to be gregarious in nature. You'll be dealing directly with potential buyers, and if you have an ability to chat and make friends easily, it will help. Of course, you don't have to sell on your own because you can always sell through an agent. Thus, it turns out that you don't need a lot of money to get started, but you do need determination and the ability to separate your business from your personal life. You also need to understand that you're in it for the long term. So, as I said, don't quit your day job, at least not right away.